First Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 6. First Corinthians 2 from verse 6. Okay, it says, how be speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that comes to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9. But as it is written, I has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, see what is calling God's wisdom? He also says, we speak it in a mystery. So, if you're reading contextually, he's telling you what we call God's wisdom, which is the gospel, is a mystery to those who don't believe. The word mystery here is not a reference to the believer, it's a reference to those who don't believe. Hallelujah. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So since it's ordained for the world unto our glory, to us it's not a mystery, but to those whom we preach, it is a mystery. Hallelujah. Because it's God's wisdom. It says, eyes have not seen nor heard, and I have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Look at verse 10. But God has revealed them to us by his word, Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Glory to God. Look at verse 12. It says, now we have received. Say, we have received. Not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing what? Spiritual things with spiritual. So, in this series of teachings, we've looked at certain words, certain phrases that Jesus used in his teaching, and we've said the teaching ministry of Jesus is a communication of Old Testament prophecies. The teaching ministry of Jesus in the four Gospels is a communication of Old Testament prophecies. That means that which Jesus spoke, when the Bible says, I will open mouth in a parable and I will utter things that are kept secret from the foundation of the world, he was speaking of the thoughts of the prophets that were written down, and those thoughts were things concerning him. Now, in the epistles, we have explanation of how those things were spoken and how they were written. So he now says, these things are things which we now speak, but not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing what? Spiritual things with spiritual. We're not comparing natural things with spiritual, we're comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So if you're reading contextually, who is natural man here? The princes of this world that knew not. That was referring to as natural man. So you see something consistent in the writings of Paul. The revelation of the gospel is by faith. The gospel is received by faith. Eye has not seen nor heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man the things God prepared for those who love him. Who are those who love him again, according to that definition? Who are those who love him again? Those who have believed. Say, have believed. So God has revealed his wisdom to me by his Spirit because I have believed. Hallelujah. Can you see that? So when it says, are the prince of this world knowing they will not have crucified, the prince of this world is who is now defined to as natural man. That the ones defined to when it says, eyes have not seen nor heard, which is, this does not come by observation. It doesn't come by natural wisdom. It is the wisdom of God, and it is imparted by the Spirit through faith. That's what it's saying. Glory to God. Is imparted by the spiritual faith. So when a man believes the gospel, faith comes, and that faith is the revelation of the gospel itself. God's language becomes your language. God's vocabulary becomes your word vocabulary. It's not something new. They ask you several times, why do you speak in parables? Says so that the prophecy might be fulfilled. That in seeing they see not, in hearing they hear not, lest they should repent and they should be converted. Matthew chapter 13, which you read earlier in this series. So, last week we stopped at John's Gospel chapter 6, isn't it? John's Gospel chapter 6, am I right? Alright, so let's go back to John's Gospel chapter 6. John's Gospel chapter 6. Let's read from verse 58. John's Gospel chapter 6, verse 58. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall what? Live forever. How do you know that the bread that came from heaven didn't come from God? That's what Jesus is saying. How do you know? Because Moses gave you not that bread which came from heaven. But the bread that Moses gave them came from where? Heaven. Physically, naturally. It came from heaven. Then Jesus now says, Moses gave you not that bread which came from heaven. So Jesus is telling us that in the teaching ministry of Moses, when he gave them manna, he was teaching them something stronger than manna. They could have woken up and see birds bring manna. They had to see it fall from the sky. And yet Moses, in his teaching ministry, was trying to convey something deeper. And that deeper truth was the reality that God will give them bread from heaven. Hallelujah. Now, in the four Gospels, there's what you call an hypodegma. That means when you demonstrate something physically, illustrating naturally, but it's pointing to something that you cannot see. Moses practiced that a lot when he was dealing with the nation of Israel. So when Jesus says this, see what it is, this is that bread which came from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. That is the first thing that should alert them to the fact that the bread is talking about cannot be physical in nature. Because the one that they had in the wilderness was physical and they died. So this is the bread that a man may eat and will not die. Look at the next verse. In case you are confused, look at the next verse. Verse 59. This thing said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is what? This is what? And had saying, who can hear it? What kind of response is this? Unbelief. That was, you are speaking in parables. He has already spoken to them, my flesh is meat indeed, my blood drink indeed. Except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man, you have no life in you. He has already told them. What was Jesus expecting them to understand? He's using the language of the prophets. He wasn't expecting them to think of cutting pieces and eating his flesh and trying to drink his blood. That's cannibalism. He wasn't expecting that. He expected them to see beyond the illustration to the spiritual reality. Hallelujah. So let's read. See what this is again. See what it says. Verse 61. Yeah, quickly. When Jesus knew in himself, the disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up to where he was before. Next verse. See what it says. It is the spirit that what? Quickens. The flesh profits nothing. Now pay attention. The words that I speak to you. So when I said, I am that bread from heaven, what is that word that I spoke to you? Spirit. Are you getting it? When I said, except you eat my flesh, you drink my blood, what am I saying to you? Spirit. What is your focus when I'm speaking? Spirit. So my words are meant to communicate something. Listen, I use a natural illustration, but I'm speaking words. The words I'm speaking are spirits. They are meant to communicate something to your spirit, but you are aligned to communicate something else to your mind. You are focusing on what the image you're seeing instead of focusing on what the words actually means. The words that I speak to you, they are what? Spirit, and they are life. So I'm speaking in the spirit. I'm using spiritual language. What does that mean? In the spirit, Jesus' flesh is flesh indeed. His blood is drink indeed. Do you understand? Shall I go over it again? The way you're looking tonight. We prayed. Say amen. We prayed. Okay. Remember at the Passover table what Jesus said. We said for the first time, after they take the Passover every year, for the first time, on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the cup, blessed it, took the bread and broke it, and I said, take it, this is my body broken for you. Question, was that his body? Answer, was that his body? So when he says, this is my body, is that his body? No. So what is Jesus trying to say? This is meant to call your attention to my body. Now, what you have been doing all this while is you are going to the ritual that points to a reality. So, eating bread and drinking wine is a shadow. I am the substance. So, now think about it. If you were dealing with shadow and substance, and the shadow is shadow, the shadow can never be substantial. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have seen the shadow of your friend? Are you able to catch the shadow? You step on the shadow, and your friend couldn't move again. If you did that one, it's voodoo. Okay, so you know that your friend is not a shadow. Am I right? But your friend can cast a shadow. Why can't you trust a shadow? I want to find out. Why can't you cast a shadow? Will the shadow tell you the exact size and shape of an individual? It can be longer, it can be shorter, isn't it? So, does the shadow explain the substance, or the substance makes sense of the shadow? Thank you. So Jesus suddenly comes. The same he has been eating with you all this while. Now says, this is my body broken for you. Is that his body? No. So when you were eating this, Moses was trying to call your attention to the fact that my body will be broken. Because when you finish eating the Passover, listen, in Egypt for the first time, everybody who ate it still died. And it is Passover. Death passes over you. And yet they died. So whatever they were eating cannot be the Passover. It's a pointer to the Passover. But this is the bread that the man may eat and not die. Hallelujah. Do you understand now? So it means that since Jesus is the substance, when a man eats of him, now, how do you eat of Jesus again? How do you eat? You believe. By believing, that's what eating means. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. As Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Does that mean you should sit down, open your mouth, close your belly, and water will pour out? No. Again, figure or speech. I just quoted John chapter 7, verse 37. Look at John 7, verse 37. I want you to see, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, but to you it's not a mystery. To those who don't believe, it's what? A mystery. But to you it's what? Revelation and light. God has revealed them to us by his word, Spirit. And the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man what? Thirst, let him come unto me and can. Now, what is Jesus' water? What is Jesus' water? Thank you. Is he talking about pure water? No. Jesus' water is what? Spirit. So now you know Jesus' water is spirit. So if you're thirsty, can you be naturally thirsty and come to Jesus? No. To be thirsty therefore means to lack the water. You need the water. So if any man thirsts, so let me put it in normal language down. If any man realizes his need for a savior, let him come to me. Is that clear now? Is that how he said it? No. So in God's eyes, a man that does not have Jesus is thirsty and hungry. Does the man know? No. What does he know? He's foolish. Are you following? Does he need Jesus? Yes. There is no man without Christ that doesn't need Christ. In fact, remember that I told you about the temptation of Jesus. Jesus used the temptation to show us something about God. When Satan said, if you are made the Son of God, he knew Jesus was hungry. Command that these stones be made bread. Then Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Why are you comparing bread and word together? Could it be that bread is meant to call our attention to the word of God? That bread will sustain natural body, while the word will sustain what? Your spiritual life. Can you see? Now, if you now check, shall not live by bread alone. The word there is, no man shall come alive but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God. What are the words that proceed from God's mouth? Spirit and life. So a man will come alive. So a man is living, but he hasn't come alive until he eats the bread and drinks the water. Hallelujah. Then he can come alive. Remember, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. Let me pause it to see. One of the challenges we have is this. We still think that Adam had dominion and he lost it. Adam never had dominion. The dominion Adam was meant to have, it was meant to receive by eating of the tree of life. He never did. I've explained to you, Genesis 1:26, let us make man is a statement of intention. This is God's logos, the God's plan. Let them have dominion in our image and likeness. Then in that image and likeness, what would they have? Dominion. Over the fish of Jesus, over the flesh. So that is chapter 1, Moses writing. Moses now explains to you in chapter 2 how man is meant to have that image and likeness by eating what? Of the tree of life. Did he eat of that tree? Did he eat of the tree? No. So we saw Hebrews chapter 2. Are you following? Am I moving too fast? So remember Hebrews chapter 2 that we saw last week? It says that one in a certain place said, what is man that you are mindful of him? Hebrews 2:6. And the Son of Man that you visited him, you made him a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. You have put all things under his feet. Then the writer says, but we are not yet seen all things put under his feet. What is the right of those quoting? Genesis 1, 26, 20, that. Wait, we saw that they wrote it, but we didn't see the fulfillment. So, but we have not seen any all things put under his feet, but we see Jesus. Many little angels, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now, do you notice something unique about Jesus? It is that he is the first person to fully exercise authority over the elements. How many of you know? Did you see another person do it in scriptures? I hope you know Moses did more miracles than Jesus. I don't know. Moses' bath was a miracle. Hiding him was a miracle. Moses used stick to part sea. That's bigger than walking on water. In case you don't know. Moses' second name is Moses Miracle. It was not that man. Moses spoke, the ground cleaved asunder and swallowed people. Moses was not that man. No wonder God didn't allow them to know his burial place, because they weren't worshiping. Even one or two people that God used on the earth today, now people still want to go to where they are buried and go and worship them, just because they say, ah, this is power. Alone. I didn't say anything. Okay, now here's what I want to say. The quality of miracles that Jesus did, he had complete control over the elements. When he stepped on the scene, he hasn't said anything. Demons were reacting. You won't see any other person do it. So that's what you call this. Now, he says, we do not yet see all things put under, according to Genesis 1:26. But what we can see is what? Jesus. Oh, so the man you are talking about in Genesis 1:26 is not this Adam. It is who? This other Adam. Who is who? Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Okay. So Adam didn't have dominion and lose it. He never had it. He never had it. So we explained last week, to make man in our image and likeness, who is God's image? Who is God's image? If you're not sure, let's read the Bible together. Let's read our Bible together. Okay. Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 3. We're going to read that one. We'll go to other verses. You must be convinced that Jesus is the image of God. Remember what I made you do last week? Jesus is the image of God. Jesus is the image of God. Jesus is the image of God. So when we now go back to, let us make man in our image and likeness. Who is talking about? Jesus. Thank you. Is it clear now? So you read the epistles, you insert the knowledge into the writing of Moses to decode Moses. Because to you it should not be a mystery. It is a mystery to those who are in unbelief. What does that mean? Those who don't know that the words of Jesus, they are spirit and they are life. What are they thinking? Natural, natural. What's Jesus speaking? Spirit and life. So Jesus' water is not your water, but Jesus' water is the real water. Your own water is figure of speech. Your bread, aggregate bread, is figure of speech. Jesus' bread, or Jesus, the bread of life, is the real bread. For any man that eats aggregate bread shall die. They won't die now. But anyone that eats of Jesus shall live what? Forever. So which one is the real bread? So aggregate bread is shadow. Jesus is the substance. Amen. So anyone that drinks wine will be thirsty again. But he that drinks Jesus shall never thirst. Okay? So see what it says. I'm going to jump to verse 2. He has in this last day spoken unto us by some who has the appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who bring the brightness of his glory, and the what? Express image of his person. Jesus is the express image of his person. Colossians 1, verse 18. And is the head. Let's read from verse 15. Who is the image of what? The invisible God. So the visible imprint of the invisible God. Now, you don't know the import of this scripture. Is God invisible? Yes. Has God been made visible? Yes. Let me say again. Is God invisible? Yes. Has God been made visible? Yes. Now, pay attention about what you say. Jesus said to the woman by the well, the hour cometh and now is, that the true worshippers shall worship Father how? In spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to what? Worship him. Now, in spirit and in truth are not two separate expressions. In spirit, which is truth. So, if God is invisible and he wants to make that visible, will he show you less or will he show you all? I want you to just think a little bit. If God is invisible, is God invisible? We agree he's invisible. When he wants to make himself visible, does he have the capacity to become visible? When he wants to become visible, will he show you less of who he is or he'll show you all he is? Good. So, you are the one who needs to renew your mind about the fact that when you see Jesus, you have seen God. You are not just seeing Son of God. You are seeing who? God. Now, here's where it gets tricky. Because some of us may be disappointed when we get to heaven. Because you are still looking for somebody else. That which may be seen and known of God is in Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. If you want to see God bodily expressed, all you will see is who? Jesus. So you know in your mind you are thinking, one day we will see God. You have seen him. The problem is that you need to renew your mind because you are thinking that, you know, his leg is long. His hand covers the earth. Is, you know, all those, and you are reading the writings of the prophets who were using figure of speech. So when you say that heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool, don't stop there. But when you hear footstool, what does footstool stand like? When God wants to cross his leg, the whole leg, like a ball, you see. Then, what is contrary in that statement that will make you think a little bit is this? Maybe you shouldn't think like that, saying, where is the place of my rest? What's going on? Heaven is your throne. The earth is your footstool. Where is the place of my rest? Where is the house you have built for me? Because from Genesis, we can see in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the reason why he made heaven and earth is because earth was without form and void. So God wanted the earth to have form and not be void. So how did he plan for this? Heaven should come where? Into the earth. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Let me say that. So, it has always been God's plan to father children or to make man his child. That has always been God's plan. So, where is the place of my rest? Is God telling you by prophecy that God has always intended to live inside who? Man. Hallelujah. He has always intended to live inside man. So see what it says in our Colossians. Which one is this one, Pastor Steven? Okay, so where is the house that you build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? See, my heart is God's place of rest. God lives in me now. You know, some people have a problem with that. Where is God? Is in heaven. But where is he now? Is in my heart. Some of us have a problem with imagining God in heaven and in your heart. Have faith. Amen. Have faith. Believe. Just believe. Just believe. Say, I believe. Part of the issue is that you are thinking that there's a throne in heaven that God sits. God does not need a throne to sit. He doesn't sit. The word sit is a figure of speech. It means to have completed something. That's part of the problem. You see, you are thinking like a man would think. That's man's wisdom. So you are thinking God always sits. But he sits on the circumference of the earth. Then from where he's sitting, he oversees all affairs. Yet he's everywhere at the same time. You have no problem believing God is everywhere at the same time. Why do you have a problem believing God is in your heart and is in heaven at the same time? Think about it. Why do you have a problem thinking? How many of you know God is everywhere? Okay. But his presence is not everywhere. Or may manifest everywhere. His manifest presence is depending by other factors. Primarily faith and knowledge. So there is no part or place that is hidden from God's sight. And yet he lives in you. That is why he's able to work miracles in Jakarta as we are speaking. And he's teaching some people in Mexico. Okay? And he's delivering some people in Peru. Hallelujah. Do you understand? He's in underground churches right now in China. At the same time. At the same time. You have to allow your mind to be renewed by the truth of his word. So we saw Where's that verse? Where verse is? So it says, who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of what? Every creature. For by him were all things created, that are where in heaven, that are where on earth. Now, who is he referring to here? Who is he referring to? Now, if by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, does that also make him the creator? Does that also make him the creator? So is Jesus God? Thank you. The Lord said to my Lord, sit down. What does that mean? God will become a man. That's all. That's what it means. That's what that scripture. The Lord said to my Lord, sit down to my right hand. What is right hand? Delegated authority. What kind of authority? All of my power. All of my authority. When they want to see me, it is you that they will see. In other words, God will become a man in order to become visible. It was God visible before? No. What will he do in that visible? He will become a man. So a fullness revelation of God is in man. Hallelujah. The fullness revelation of God is in who? Is in man. Let me say it again. When you get to heaven, you won't see more of God. You will know more. You will know more, but you won't see more. You won't see more means that you won't see any other than Jesus. And yet is the express image of the Father. My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That means I can't take more pleasure. I can't be fully represented in any other way. You can't improve on this edition. The only begotten of Father, full of grace, which is truth. The word only begotten is monogenua. It means uniquely begotten. It will never need to be repeated because what was done was perfect. God came into man and became visible for us to see. That's the whole purpose. For God to become visible for us to see. So when you hear him teaching, as he's teaching in Gospels, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are what? Life. Let me show you something. Look at Luke. Luke 24. Verse 25. On the road to Emmaus, see what it says. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning who? Himself. Look at verse 44. He says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, and all things must be fulfilled. So, opening their understanding, opening up the scriptures to them in teaching them was to fulfill certain things that the prophets have once spoken. See what it says again. These are the words which I spoke unto when I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written where? In the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning who? Concerning me. Verse 45, then open ye their what? Understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And that's when they believed. That's when they got saved. Now, Luke's account is the same account in Acts chapter 1. This is a summary of the 40 days teaching. That's what he's talking about. Openly, their understanding there is a 40-day teaching seminar that Luke is summarizing here. So for 40 days, he kept explaining to them in the scriptures. He was making sense of the scriptures. That's why when he said, look at verse 20. Go back to verse 26. See what it says. Verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and one enter into his glory? You won't see any verse like that in the Old Testament. That is Jesus making sense of the scriptures. Why is he able to do that? He is the logos of the scriptures. So, Isaiah said some things. Ezekiel said some things. Jeremiah said some things. Moses said some things. When Jesus is teaching, he doesn't quote, he puts it together. How many events have I said? So let me ask you a question. Very interesting question. When Jesus is teaching, is he quoting them or are they quoting him? I can hear you. Okay. Was Jesus a prophet? Yes. Are these other people prophets? Yes. What is the message of the prophets? Christ. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter what? Into his glory. So when Christ comes, will he be quoting them or they will be quoting him? So his words were found on their mouths. You hear what I said? The words of Jesus was found on the mouth of Moses, was found on the mouth of David, was found on the mouth of Ezekiel. His words were found on their mouth because they were speaking about him. They are prophets who were given a message. He is the message. Hallelujah. So when he's speaking, he doesn't quote. He puts it together in a way nobody else could. So when you hear scriptures like, as it is written, out of his belly shall flow rivers. There's no scripture like that. That is Jesus explaining what the prophet has spoken. And when this out of his belly, remember figure of speech. Let me ask you a question. Does that mean that the belly of Jesus opened and waters came out? Okay, if any man does let him come unto me, what does it mean to come unto Jesus again? To believe. When will you be able to believe and receive? Resurrection. So out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water will mean what? Out of his resurrection. Does it make sense now? So can you see you are lost if you are looking for belly? Out of his resurrection will flow what? Rivers of living water. John chapter 12. Bible speak. Glory to God. Are you there? Jesus' manner of teaching. See what he said. Verse 23. And Jesus answered them saying, let me go back a little bit. Verse 20. Jesus is interesting. Look at what they did. They came to Jesus' deputies. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we will see Jesus. So they are designing audience with Jesus. You know, just introduce us to him, let us meet him, that great rabbi, that great teacher. See, so Philip comment and tell it Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. So they went together as a team. Let's go and ask him because we don't know what he will say. Because there are things just a team, he will say something else. We say they want to see you. The Greeks have money, Oga. See it to them. They carry. Please see them. They say they want to see you. Just a few minutes of conversation. Just see them. They drop offering. See what is there. And Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come. What are we talking about? What is he talking about? Which one is hour again? We say we don't want to see you briefly. Say hour. So, his natural situation will come up. Then Jesus will use that situation to teach in natural truth. Now, what did they say want to see Jesus? How did they want to see Jesus? Let's just meet him. What Jesus start teaching? How they will see him? I mean, if you understand now. See what he said? The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Who is talking to now? Philip and Andrew. Who by that time has been like this? See what Jesus is saying to him? Except a corn of wheat fall onto the ground and die, it won't abide alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in his world shall keep it. Okay, let me jump all the way to. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, for this cause came I unto this hour. Verse 28. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and we what? Glorified again. Can you see that? What is he referring to? Remember how Jesus speaks. How did God glorify his name? By becoming a man. We beheld his glory. The glory as of what? The only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. And will he glorify it again? By his resurrection. Hallelujah. Are you getting that now? So I have both glorified it. And we what? Glorified again. So let me say something very important. Except the corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. So the second glorification is no longer only begotten. It will not be firstborn of many brethren as resurrection. So the glory of God in Christ today is the church. It's every son that has been brought into glory. That's what you're saying. Does it look like that in the passage we just read now? No. It doesn't look that way. But that is what he's saying. The glory of God is in that a corn will fall to the ground. He abides alone. But he falls to the ground. Okay. What will happen? It will bring forth much fruit. And that's the resurrection. In other words, by that same resurrection, every single one of us will come into that same glory. And that's the glory of God. He said, I will glorify it again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. John chapter 3, verse 14. John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Now, before he said that, what was he saying? He was explaining some things to Nicodemus. He was teaching him, except a man born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot what? Enter the kingdom of God. So he was teaching him some things. So, verse 12, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you what? Heavenly things. So I've used natural illustrations to communicate spiritual truths. You don't get it. If I start using spiritual language, you'll be lost. See what language is. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is where? In heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever... So, was the serpent lifted up in the wilderness? What was happening when the serpent was lifted up? What was happening? What? Why did they lift up the serpent at that time? People were dying. Why were they dying? They were beaten by serpents. Numbers 21. They were beaten by serpents. So while they were dying, God instructed Moses to make a brazen serpent. And as he made that brazen serpent, he said, put it upon the pole. Whoever looks upon it will live. So you're already beaten, and the poison of the serpents is meant to kill you. But the minute you look to the brazen serpent, you will now what? Live instead of dying. And that was an epiodegma. That was another illustration in Moses' teaching ministry. It was not the serpent, the brazen serpent that healed them. It was Christ. Jesus now saying, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be what? Lifted up. Hallelujah. 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 So, if you get your attention on the brazen serpent, you don't know that Moses is using the figure of speech to communicate to Christ. Don't say, why did they use a brazen serpent? You know, a brazen serpent is not real. Isn't it? It's harmless, it's innocent, it cannot hurt you. So he's saying that Jesus will become sin, be punished as sin, and whoever believes in that sacrifice would live. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. Now, everybody will look to the brazen serpent in the wilderness. They didn't die from the poison, but they still died. Hallelujah. Are you following? They still died. But there's another one they are meant to look to, that they will live forever. Who is that person? Hallelujah. See what it says there? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave. So when you see the scripture, as I say, let me find that scripture that says, I think it's still in that John chapter 3, that, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will what? Draw all men unto me. We used to sing a song. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. For he says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto. Now from the song, this is how it sounds like. If we can lift Jesus up in praise, he will draw men. But you know that's what he's talking about. The lifting up is there too. Actually, you should be singing, kill Jesus now. Kill Jesus now. If I be lifted up, how will he be lifted up? He will need to die. He's being lifted up is his resurrection, escape from the earth. And if I be lifted up, I will draw men. When will men be drawn? When he rises from the dead and men believe on him, they will be drawn unto him. Hallelujah. That's the new birth. Does it look like that in that song? No. So you know, you will not, if you know that, leave Jesus, if you know what it means, say, kill Jesus now. Kill him now. But that is what he said. And if I be lifted up, that is what Jesus said. That is not what he's not talking literally lifting. The word lifting is talking about his resurrection, which you and I believe, and then we were drawn to him. Hallelujah. Because until he rose, he couldn't draw anyone to him. Can you see these things are there? Similarly, I mean, we can see that one. It's there, it's right there before you. But he has already given us a key. The words that I speak to you, they are what? They are spirit. So when you hear me speak, think spirit. Don't think what? Natural. That's where you get lost. Don't think natural. Think what? Spirit. I spent time last week explaining to us, what is the blood of Jesus? What is the blood of Jesus? You know, just a little bit of thinking will let you know it can't be a physical liquid. Because sin is spiritual. And sin is of the heart. So even if I sip the real blood of Jesus, the original one, that they are storing away somewhere in the church, if I drink it, the problem is that it will enter my mouth, it will likely be bitter. Then it will go to my tummy, then it will pass out of my system, it will have done nothing except relieve me of any stomach upset. But the part of me that needs to be rich, you can't see it, I can't see it, is my spirit man that needs to be cleansed of sin. So whatever will reach that part of me must also be what? Spiritual nature. And Moses was trying to tell them, but because they were in unbelief, what God said he would do, when they didn't believe, Moses gave them to do. So they were bringing animal. You know what it means to look for a spotless animal? You search. Meanwhile, the idea of a spotless animal is that the sacrifice has to be perfect. So you first search. It'd be expensive, you buy. So at least once a year, you must buy spotless lamb. You must look for one. And around that time of the year, there'll be struggle in the market. You say, well, sorry for this season. All are gone. Eh? No. My sin must be covered. Look for one for me. By all means, I'll pay you double. Look for one for you. Then they will slaughter the animal. They will sprinkle the blood of the animal on people's flesh. And sin is not in your flesh. And they still didn't get it. Then they will come the next year and repeat it again. And Moses was trying to tell them, can't you see that this cannot be perfected by you? It has to be something that God will do by himself. For in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance of sin every year. What did God say he would do? Their sins and iniquity, I will remember no more. How? I will be the one that will cleanse. I'll be the one that will wash. I'll be the one that will purge them of their sins. For I am the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I don't cover the sin, I take it away. And when I do mine, I do it once and for all. Hallelujah. I do it once and for all. Did they get it? No. So they were bringing animal. Just, you see, it doesn't take too much religion. English, a little bit of explanation, you just say, just keep bringing. And then next year, you remember what you did last year. Bring another one. So that means the sin was never taken care of. Now, here is a mystery. Abraham, before the law came, didn't bring any animal. Isaac didn't bring any. Jacob didn't bring any. And you are referring to them as fathers of faith. Shouldn't you know they know something? Moses now came to you. Even you should be watching Moses up and down. Wait. Moses. This guy is not bringing any animal. He has never brought any animal. He's just eating hassle inside his room. Don't bring anything. What's going on here? He gave them rules. When you are coming, wear this robe. Go, don't go there. Wear robe. She said, I told you God will cleanse you. He said, no. You will clean yourself. Wear this robe. Very long robe. Design like this. Then Balaam wrote to wear. If you remove that robe and enter, you are gone. You are going with blood. Moses is strolling in and out. You should know. Moses that spoke to you about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob must know something that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew. Hallelujah. They didn't make any animal. Let me show you something in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. I pray you get it this evening. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 4. From verse 1. Say, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. She said, I have received what? Okay. Said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Yeah, next verse. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was still of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Next verse. And the Lord had respect unto the offering of Abel and of the. Do you notice something that you may have missed in Genesis chapter 4? Do you know that nothing was said about the blood of the animal? Nothing. Abel brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. Nothing was said about blood. So let me ask you a question. What makes you think that Abel slaughtered an animal? Should we read it again? My Bible. Let's read now. He also brought all the forces of wrong and of the what? Far thereof. And Lord had respect. So, remember, you are the one who concluded that when he brought it, he killed it. You concluded. You did. Jesus is not said there. No. I just want you to say that. Is it written there that he killed any animal? Is it written there? But do you know there's blood mentioned in this chapter? Which blood was mentioned? Abel's blood. Cried out. Nothing was said about the blood of that lamb. Okay, so Hebrews 11. No. Because why will God have respect? If you are reading on the surface, it looks like partial. You understand? You know that it is farming, agriculture I'm into. You know, he rears sheep. I brought you the best of my farm. He brought you the best of his sheep. Why will you reject mine and take his? God, you are not fair. That is how it looks from Genesis until you read the writer of Hebrews' summary of what happened. Look at Hebrews. Pay attention to the language that is used. From verse 1. Okay, See what verse was. Now, faith is what? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, were there things that the patriarchs were hoping for? Were they hoping for certain things? What did they call what they were hoping for? Faith. It was also the evidence of the things they couldn't see. So if you're hoping for something, have you seen that thing? You've not seen it. Okay, but you know it's there. Now look at next verse. For by that kind of faith, the elders obtain what? A good testimony. Through faith also we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made, or they were not pointing to things that appear. So when Noah built an ark, if you are looking at the ark, you have missed Noah. Because Noah built an ark to represent something. It is what he represents that is the substance. The ark is the shadow. Say amen. Say amen. That's why we cannot find them. They've not found Noah's ark. Because the ark is the shadow. What the ark is meant to represent is the substance. Say amen. Thank you. Next verse. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. How was the sacrifice of Abel offered? By faith. Why was it more excellent? By faith. So, was the offering of Cain by faith? No. If I'm offering a sacrifice to you by faith, pay attention. Faith is the substance of what you cannot see. It's evidence of what? Things you are open for. Good. Or substance of things hope for, the evidence of what you cannot see. Now look at it. And I offer by faith. If I bring an animal to you and I kill it, am I offering by faith? No, I've killed it. It's not faith. It's literal. You can see the animal, you can see blood. The animal is dead. Did Abraham offer Isaac by faith? Did Abraham kill Isaac? Think, oh. In the real sacrifice, is it Isaac that needs to die or Jesus that needs to die? So is Isaac a shadow of Jesus? So who should die, the shadow or the substance? So why will Abel need to kill? If you understand what I'm saying, let me say that. Why would Abel need to slaughter since he's offering by faith? So here's what Abel is like. Grammar. He came. From what Adam and Eve had taught them, Abel knew that God told his father, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. A Messiah will come. Okay? And will die for your sins. So, Abel's faith was in the more excellent sacrifice. Which one is the more excellent sacrifice? Christ. So, the more excellent sacrifice cannot be the lamb. Because the lamb is not more excellent. Who is more excellent sacrifice? Jesus. He's just telling you that Abel's faith was in who? Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The words that I speak unto you, they are sweetest and they are life. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you hear, He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. In Bible study, you notice, when was that phrase introduced? It was used more in the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews is the book of comparison, comparing the shadow with the substance. So it says, what is the shadow? Oh, Noah built an ark. Noah, what does your ark represent? Christ raised from the dead. And when he rises from the dead, though everything on earth may be perished, inside him there is no death. What is the focus of the natural man? Ark, floating on water. What's the focus of the spiritual man? Christ risen from the dead. Are you paying attention? You have to understand figures of speech. What was Abraham told? We'll go into that maybe next week. What? Not maybe this week. Abraham was told, go to a land that I will show you. So you will think that Abraham is looking for 500 acres. Until you go and study the word land that was told to Abraham in the original Hebrew, it was to a people I will show you. The word land, there is people, a populated place that I will show you. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion, side of the north, city of the great king. Is Mount Zion, side of the north, and city of the great king. So when you're reading David's prophecy here, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, and the mountain of his holiness is not a physical place. Then verse 2, he now connects it to David's city that is also called Zion. Where David ruled from in Israel is also called Zion. So David's physical dwelling place where he ruled from was typified in scriptures to the spiritual reality. So in verse 1, he's not talking about the physical place. In verse 2, he has come down to the physical place. Look at it yourself. See, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. In the city of who? Is that the city of David? No. Beautifully, in the mountain of what? His holiness. Where God's holiness is a mountain. That's a new creation. That's a new creation. Say, I'm holy. God's spirit has made me holy. Say, I'm holy. God's spirit has made me holy. Do you know what it just said now is true? But it's not completely true. That's why we're building. Because when you're learning this thing, you are first afraid to say it. You know, if you're coming from certain setting now, say, your voice will not come out. I am, say, me. You are holy because God said so. You are not holy because you think you are, because you act like you are, because God what? Said so. But really, do you know really the description of God concerning you in Christ? It's not even that you are holy. It's that you are the holiest of all. Okay, put that one. Because you're like, I'm still struggling with I'm holy. I'm not saying holy. Who is holy? Please. But I didn't say it. It is God that said it. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed in need of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also as lively or living stones. It's in the Bible. The same word used for Jesus is used for you. 1 Peter 2, 3 and 4. You also as living stones. Say, I'm a living stone. Unto whom coming as unto a living stone. Talking about Christ. Is allowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. You also as living stone. I don't know why they change King James to lively. Because the same word, Greek word. You also, you have built up what? A spiritual house. An only priesthood. To offer what? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Why can you offer spiritual sacrifice? Because you are the holiest of all. So let me now say this now. If you were to see Moses' tabernacle today, the same tabernacle where if you go into the holiest, only, you know, there's the holy place, the most holy, the holy of all, the outer court, inner court. Are you an outer court Christian or inner court Christian? All the courts together. I am. All the courts together. Are you outer court, inner court, or and all the courts together? That's where I am. So if you were to see Moses' tabernacle today, because what God showed Moses was not a physical building. What God showed Moses was God in man. What Moses did was to build a temple to represent what he saw to those who did not believe. That's why, remember, Moses was not called in a temple he told them to build. He was called in the wilderness. Because God doesn't live in that temple. What they saw in the temple was activity of angels. So if you were to see Moses' temple today, let's say you were able to see it. You know Moses' temple is still there in Jerusalem. I know there's a place called the holiest of all. Let me ask you a very interesting question. If you go in and you're not the priest, what will happen to you normally? Okay. If you go in, will you die? So the real most holy enters the fake most holy. And when you enter the fake most holy, it becomes most holy. Because you are now there. Hallelujah. Can you see why we pray for revelation? So that you can think like this. Because even as I'm saying, you're still looking. Most holy. I'm most holy. So, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the city of our God, which is the mountain of his holiness, where God's holiness is at its highest peak in full demonstration. The word holiness and mountain there means immovable holiness. This is holiness as God defines it forever. Beautifully situated. That's what beautiful situation. Beautifully situated is a joy of the whole heart. Where are we situated? In Christ Jesus. Come out of your father's house. I will show you a land. And Abraham traveled out. He got to a place. He got to Canaan and kept moving to let you know that Canaan cannot be the land. He just kept going because he wasn't looking for a physical place. He looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. God is not the architect of Palestine. He's not the architect of Canaan. Those were built by men. The one God promised him is one that I built. That is a new man in Christ Jesus. That's what Abraham knew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Abraham's faith was in that. You should know Abraham is a strange man. A man will bind his son and take him to the mountain. And when he's about to go, someone's asking him, where are you going? We're going to the mountain. We want to go and worship. We'll come back. Now's a man that knows that Isaac can't die on that mountain. Oh, you don't know? No. Think. He wasn't deceiving them all. He knew Isaac couldn't die on that mountain. He knew. Abraham knew. Me and his son go up yonder to go and worship and we shall return. That's what Abraham said. So Abraham knew. We will just go and do drama over there before the real drama takes place. The real drama will take place in Christ Jesus. Take now your son, your only son. Abraham understood. Okay. God will bring his only son. So let me take my only son to show him that I know you bring your only son. So when he took his only son, say, God, I want you to know I believe you give your only son. So this one will not need to die because that one will die. Hallelujah. Because if this one dies, he won't save anyone. It's that one that will die that will save everyone. Hallelujah. Including Abraham and Isaac. What do we call Isaac's name normally? A common name. What does name mean? It's that's actually a polite way of saying it. The real one is a joke. A joke. When something comes from a place you least expect, by no energy of the flesh, that's how Christ came. What he's trying to portray, you know, notice. I hope you know that Abraham was not barren. No. If you sleep with Hagar and you produce Ishmael, you cannot. And after Isaac, you had concubines. And they all have children. No. The story of barrenness was told to show us that Isaac did not come by natural means. He had to be assisted. Sarah was barren. Sarah was barren. It's just to let you know. So if Sarah is barren and Isaac still came and she was past age, does that not make you understand that it is not possible for Mary to have a child without a man? You need to understand God's way of doing this. How shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? How shall this be? Let us explain to you. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the Christ shall what? Overshadow you. You are carrying prophecy that was spoken from the garden. The seed of the woman shall bruise your head. It's time for it to come to pass. All those things that the prophets have said, as I said, a virgin can conceive. Everything we gather together, boom. The Holy Ghost shall what? Overshadow you. Glory to God. So, again, somebody says, what is the aim of all this? Kingdom realities. We are renewing our mind. We're stepping up in the expression of our faith because spiritual things must now be more real to you. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Jesus, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. That is not bread and wine. That is his life that was given to us. Hallelujah. Let me say something else before I round up tonight as we start praying now. Every animal that they use under the Old Testament will need to die. And in their dying, they will use their blood. Do you know the blood of Jesus was not applied on you after he died? It was applied after he rose. It can only be your Passover is if he himself has passed over death. We'll look at that later. Hallelujah. You hear what I said? The blood of every animal that was slaughtered, they were sprinkled after the animals were dead. But your high priest is alive. So when his blood was offered, he is a living sacrifice. It's the only sacrifice that is living and alive. It is in his life that you were purged. Well, that's the only way you can receive the life. If he were to remain dead and you were given his blood cannot make you alive. Hallelujah. So it is in his resurrection that his blood was used to what? Purge your sins. Glory to God. And is able to save them to the uttermost, those who come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make what? Intercession for us. Glory to God. So our high priest is alive. The sacrifice he offered is alive. His testimony is alive. The blood he offered is alive. The spirit that cleanses us is alive. Glory to God. It's always current. Hallelujah. He abides ever. He liveth to make what? Intercession for us. We've told you, intercession means praying for you. Intercession means what he has accomplished is been available for you at all times. That's what intercession means. You know, Jesus is praying for you. Jesus, pray for your son. You had a prayer before? Jesus, pray for your son. No, he can't pray for you like that. He can pray through you. The only other way Jesus can pray for you is to raise up other saints to stand up to pray for you. He ever lived to make intercession means his substitutionary sacrifice. He has made it available to speak on your behalf. So when you say, I'm justified, the sacrifice is speaking. When you say, I'm healed, the sacrifice is speaking. When you say, I'm without blame, I'm blemished, the sacrifice is what? Speaking. He ever lived to make, is backing up every confession you're making by sacrifice. He ever liveth. Glory to God. He ever liveth. Let's pray tonight. Let's stand to our feet and pray tonight. Pray in the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord Jesus. The knowledge of God's word covers the earth like the earth waters cover the sea. The knowledge of the truth of God's word covers the earth. It covers the earth. More men reached, more lives changed, more people blessed, more saints filled with the Spirit, more saints taught, more people granted, more people discipled, more people established in the Lakangro, Shigon, Subrasta, Brananga, Sise Bresike, Egigrush, the Rasta, Sebrusta, Brananga, Langri, Este, Kisses, Sebrusta, Kelegi, Shigida. The fragrance of God's word goes forth all over. No hindrances, unlimited influence, unlimited reach. The gospel, the message of the gospel, it goes to the nations of the earth. It's not restricted. It goes from coast to coast, from city to city, from town to town, from nation to nation, from country to country, from continent to continent. Men are sent with the revelation of the truth, the revelation and light of the gospel. It keeps spreading in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have more evangelists raised. We have more apostles that are going. We have more pastors. We have more teachers ministering. We have more prophets that are sent with the revelation of Christ in this season in the name of Jesus. Nothing dims the light of the gospel. gospel, nothing hinders the propagation of the revelation of Christ in our nation and across nations of the earth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to place a demand on the supply of the Spirit. Every single service for the next few months, there will be an unleashing of God's power. Every single service. May we stand in their place. May we obey instructions. May we carry out that which God has told them to do, from the worship to the prayer, every single aspect of service. We're not waiting till January. There's some. For you see, it is reaching exceeding greatness of his power, is that which is made available from that point in which he rose, available to all saints, available to bring restoration, available to manifest healing, available to work miracles. So, do not let there be a dividing factor in your mind when you tell yourself, till next year, for next year and now are the same, for that power is at your beck and call. So, place a demand and say, restoration occurs here, restoration occurs here, and restoration occurs there. And it shall be as you have said, for the supply of the Spirit is in you. Glory to God. Let's pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Every single service, God's power is in tremendous demonstration. All our services in the month of December, all our services in the month of January, Holy Ghost meetings, all our services in the month of February, the power of God is in tremendous manifestation, like an inferno. Needs are met, supplies are made, Apollo prayers are answered, people are healed, men Apollo grustes are transformed, men experience alugrustaka enlargement, men experience enlargement in their hearts, enlargement in the work of their hands, enlargement in their vision of God, enlargement in the plan and purpose of God. Men experience enlargement, men are able to run. Men are able to run. Every weakness is left behind. New horizons, new levels, new repasukutanera. Realms in the things of God. Maligriste lishugrota kamari. Ekangastigoi yejubrasta prakuto. Ekangaste keso shubrukuta gata. We reach out for the power of God in full expression. In full expression, the exceeding greatness of his power. In full expression, in every single one of our services. Months Wednesday or Sunday, every single service, Allegro characterized by miracles, by signs, by wonders, by your mighty power in fulfilling. We receive the gift of the Spirit in their fullness with diverse operations in attendance in the name of the Lord Jesus. We change situations, we alter circumstances, we receive miracles of healing, we receive creative miracles, we see lives changed, we see coasts enlarged, we see men blessed irreversibly. Baloshtano, Leandra Kushte Brangasto, in Anka Kigisi, we see things open up for many, 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 many. Leosto Ravrakas Tibrushtakana, Eka Gugu Brishtakastu Soproko Bragata Nangiki Legili Mungun. Instant miracles. We just crossed over into a season. We're going to keep pressing from tomorrow also. There will be some astonishing miracles before people leave the service, right there in the auditorium. Yeah. Certain difficult situations sorted out through the ministry of angels. to the space of angels during those services, we're going to have a spectacular time. A spectacular time enjoying God's power. Let's give him praise and thanks tonight. Let's give him praise and thanks tonight. Father, we thank you. We thank you for that deluge. Thank you for the deluge. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for the deluge. Oh, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise, Father. In our worship, we line up. Thank you. Thank you. In our thoughts, we line up. In our confessions, we line up. In our confessions, we declare nothing is impossible. 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 We declare all things are possible because we have believed. All things are possible because we have believed. All things are possible because we have believed. We see your mighty power in full expression. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Medical conditions reversed. Medical conditions reversed. Thank you. Thank you, Father. We give you glory for your power overshadows men completely. We give you praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.